Welcome to Beach Houses and Babies, a private practice recap podcast. I'm Sam. On today's episode, we'll be chatting all about Private Practice Season 6, Episode 5. Episode 5, the next episode, was written by Zahir McGee and directed by Jeanette Zwarak. It aired on November 13th, 2012. Enjoy! Today, we have a celebrity guest host on the pod. Please welcome star of the first national tour of Girl from the North Country. You've seen her on FBI Most Wanted and Blue Bloods. She starred as Dina in the international tour of Dreamgirls, among other shows. This is Sheree Moultrie.
Woohoo! I always laugh when I hear that intro. You're the best.
I only tell the truth.
Oh, yeah.
The last time you were here, it was also written and directed by this same team.
Oh,
didn't that happen before?
I feel like it did, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why that always happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I literally just put you on this episode because I was like, Sheree would enjoy looking at Taye Diggs for an hour.
And I did.
Yes. When I was doing the schedule and I was like, who should go on Charlotte's episode? Who should go on, you know, Jake's episode? I was like, easy. Sheree would like to look at Taye Diggs and I will oblige.
Oh, you are truly the best.
Thank you very much. So what else are you reading and or watching right now?
I have been watching this show called The Resident on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
It's been on, yeah. And it's no longer a thing anymore, really, but I just got into it, and yeah, I think I've watched maybe the first four seasons or so in like a month or two. Yeah, I've been really enjoying it, and then I actually am reading a book too now. A lot of my cast members have been reading and stuff like that, and I'm like, okay, I need to pick up a book and read again. And so I picked up this book called The Midnight Library. Ooh. Which is really good.
Sounds like Night at the Museum. Is it similar?
I don't think so. It's by Matt, I don't know how to pronounce his name, H-A-I-G. But no, it's about this woman who's like almost having like a sort of a middle of life crisis or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she basically ends up going to this midnight library where the books on the shelves are all variations of her life, like different ways her life would have been if she made different choices. And so she gets to pick up a book and kind of jump into that version of her life and decide if she wants to stay or not. So it's been pretty interesting so far. And I think it'll be a good, you know, life lessons about how your choices, you know, affect you in the future or whatever. So yeah, it's been a fun read so far.
Yeah, I'm going to add that to my list. That sounds like something I'd really like.
Yeah, I think you would, actually.
When Margot was on in our last episode, we were talking about how I should watch For All Mankind, and then I did, and I watched the whole series in between recording that and recording this.
Yes.
It's only it. Four seasons, and it's Apple TV, so it's like nine or ten episodes a season. So, like, it's not hard to do, but also, like, I recorded that episode way before it had to publish because I was traveling, and then this, we're like kind of up to the wire. Woohoo! But so it makes sense. It's been like a month, maybe like 3.5 weeks. So that's like a season a week.
Yeah. It's not too bad. It's okay.
Yeah, totally fine. And now I'm just catching up on, I missed like half a new series of Call the Midwife. So I'm watching that. And it's on BBC. It's in season like 13, I think. It's about midwives in like, that's attached to nunnery is probably the wrong word, but like nuns and midwives who are midwives together.
Okay.
In Poplar in East London. And it started in like the 50s and now it's in the 70s. And now I'm just kind of attached to the characters as, you know, oops, that happens.
Truly.
That's about me. About me gets attached to fictional characters. Yeah, I don't really know what I'm going to watch next. So if anyone has suggestions, let me know. I no longer have Netflix, but I have pretty much everything else.
Nice.
I think I need to retreat back into like my 90s cave.
Yeah. What happened with
Yeah.
The Living Single? Have you still been watching that as a bedtime?
Yeah, so I'm like 3 episodes from the series finale, and once I got to the last season, I was like, I don't want it to end. So I've been watching like 2 a month instead of like 2 a night. But I'm gonna watch Girlfriends after, like we talked about.
Oh yeah, that's that. I feel that way about the end of Girlfriends. They didn't do us
Yeah, I like
right.
can't I like don't want it to end because I don't I
Yeah.
just So yeah, I have like an evening show that's like more high stakes, and then I have like a sitcom at bedtime to like chill. I need both.
Nice.
Do you have anything to promote, Miss? I've been on tour for a year.
it. Yeah, just the tour. Come see us. We're in Austin right now. We'll be on the West Coast pretty soon, which I'm so excited because that means I get to see Sam in person.
Woo! I'm so
Oh.
excited. I messed up the time zones, dear listeners, and I was like, let's record at 11. And she was like, okay. And I thought I knew that meant 11 her time, but I thought that meant 10 my time, and it doesn't because Austin is 2 hours difference. So I texted her at like 8:50, and I was like, are we good to record in an hour? And you were like, do you mean 10 minutes? And I was like, yeah. Totally.
Good for you though to being able to set up so quickly because I was like, oh man, I hope she doesn't have to wait for an hour because I don't want to sit in the hotel room for an extra hour.
Oh my God, no. I mean, you
I
should see the bundle of clothes on my bed because my recording chair is also my everything chair that I just like
Right.
throw half-worn clothes on. But
Yep.
hey, that just means I'll find something to wear today.
Exactly. Boom.
And where can we find you online?
Am on social media, IG at Sheree, and then my website is iamsheree.com.
Perfect. And are you continuing Suites with Sheree?
I am. I've just been so bad about posting. I have to.
Yeah.
I think I need to. I'm gonna do like a carousel post and do the last few cities I've been in and then maybe start back with the videos. But it was just like becoming so much to edit it and keep up with it. We were doing a city every week and I felt overwhelmed and
Yeah.
unmotivated about posting on social media in general. And so I took a little bit of a break, but I've been
Yeah.
still having my sweets. Just haven't been sharing them so much.
Thank heavens. Thank heavens, still having the sweets. Okay, so our patient breakdown for the week is quite short because all we had was Raymond. But we have first notes and miscellaneous per usual. And then I have Raymond McRae with pulmonary hypertension and just Sam and the documentary. So I pretty much have like anything Raymond related with Raymond and then the other stuff in the documentary and miscellaneous.
Okay.
But yeah, we had such good guest stars in this episode.
Yeah, some and I feel like I recognize just about everyone from
Oh,
all their
yeah.
TV shows or movies, whatever.
What's your first note? I know we really went right into it, but.
My very first note is, oh, the pretend we're not here, and then right after the glass broke. I thought that was
Yes.
so funny.
I know. I feel like this episode must have been a blast to film for like all departments and especially for camera and sound, 'cause they kinda, I mean, they really like got into it at the beginning of like we could hear every little thing that Sam was doing in the kitchen. And I mean, you avoid that in a normal show, but in reality, I guess it's fine to hear like the orange juice
Oh, yeah.
pouring and like the pan scratching.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a good point. I have to go
Yeah.
back and watch reality show and like see if that's still a thing or not.
I don't really watch reality anymore.
Yeah, Love is Blind, I think, is the only one. That's my little guilty pleasure. I think that's the only one I ever watch anymore.
I watched the first 2 seasons, and the first season I loved. The ones after that, I was like, I can't do this.
It's definitely gone downhill as the seasons have progressed, but I still watch.
You have to have joy.
Yeah,
Yeah. On to Raymond McRae with pulmonary hypertension. Sam looks at his EKG and there's non-specific abnormalities, which I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, I was like, huh?
Yeah, I think it just means like more testing is needed. And he did a really great job explaining the treatment to them, like when they're all in the hospital room. Even I could understand it. And I feel like a lot of times doctors, especially surgeons, use the technical terms and you're like, I don't know what that means. Well, I do because I've watched 20 seasons of Grey's Anatomy and 6 seasons of Ten Practice and whatever, 14 seasons of ER. So, like, I know what that means. But most people who aren't television doctors don't
Exactly.
know. I had forgotten about this whole mom kissing Raymond thing when the wife goes to the bathroom.
Ooh-wee.
I know. I, of course, remembered that he was his father, but I forgot. I thought that my brain remembered that it like came out of nowhere when the wife said, like, Sam, you should get tested. And I did not remember like the kissing and like the close talking and the camera catching it and Sam like throwing a clipboard in his face.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was so crazy.
I know.
My mouth was open that whole time. Like, once the lady left, and then he started, I was like, I sat there for like 10 seconds with my mouth just open, like, did that really just happen?
Why are they talking so close? Oh my, oh, that's not your husband.
Just left the room. You don't know how long she's gonna be out the room. Like, that's really
I
bold. It was really
know.
bold. Really bold.
Oh, I forgot my purse. Come back. Oh.
Right.
Yeah. Like the second the door closed, they were like, ooh, I love you.
Crazy.
I loved the writing in this episode. I mean, Zahir McGee writes kind of a lot of episodes now, so I really love their writing style. Are we going to talk about the elephant in the room? Sam says, and his mom says, not if I don't see one.
Yeah, I love their like back and forth in a couple of their scenes. It's like really nice.
Ooh, and then Sam says to Raymond, my mother's personal life is none of your business. Or wait, maybe. Sam definitely says my mother's personal life is none of your business.
And he said that
But
to
I don't know.
the camera folks, I think.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, and then Mrs. Bennett Alfrey Woodard says, I thought I taught you not to speak on things you don't know about.
Or that there was another line about the respect. She was like, when you decide to do to not say something to in order to respect your mother, like follow through on it or something like that. I was like,
Yeah, she had like an entire season of character development in one episode. Icon. She's such an icon.
Truly.
I watched her as a villain in something, like not like a scary mwahaha villain, but like a sinister villain. I can't remember what it is, but I saw her as a villain in something, maybe when I was younger, like very formidable age. So now every time I look at her and like even when I see her on a red carpet, I'm like
Really?
a little bit afraid of her.
Always seen, I remember her from most of her mother, like a mother-like figure roles. And there
Yeah.
was one where she was like a junkie. I remember that because I was so different from anything I'd ever seen her in. But yeah, she's so good.
Let me see if I can quickly see what it was that was so scary. Is she your guest star spotlight? I don't want to take it away from you. She is? Okay, well, I'm just really quickly gonna look
No, yeah,
through.
because I didn't pull up that, so.
Oh, I think it was Desperate Housewives.
Oh, was
That
she
would
in
make
that?
sense. She was in 26 episodes. That would make sense because the name Betty Applewhite just sounds like someone who's like a little sinister. And that show had a lot of like real life villains of like people that would actually be scary. That would make sense. Desperate Housewives. At the barbecue, I love that Sam covers his mic like on the top of his shirt. He like uses his hand to cover his mic when he's talking about his mother to Raymond. And it feels like they've only been recording this pilot for like 3 days, but already he has the like adjustments to know, like,
Knows to do that, yeah.
yeah. I think I have this in the documentary section, but like even reality would work to hide the mics a little bit more than they do. Like when they're interviewing the rest of the co-op, it's just like the mic is like right in the front and then the...
Oh, yeah.
what is like the string? What is the string? My brain. Cord.
Oh.
The brain is not work. The cord is just like hanging down in the front of their shirts. It's like, I've been on reality sets before, like it's mm-hmm. not a lot, but they work to hide it a little bit.
Right, tuck it in through the back, you know.
Yeah,
inside the shirt.
And even at the very beginning, going back to that first scene when they have to cut because the boom gets in the frame. Yeah, like why do they care about the boom coming in and not about these really obvious mics on the front of their shirts?
Right.
That's just me.
Who knows? Yeah.
Raymond's wife knows and has known for 40 years. I cannot imagine.
Another moment where my mouth was agape. What?
I know.
Like, why? I know, like, they mentioned it in the show that it was, you know, a different time or whatever, and divorce was so, like, scandalous or whatnot. But to be a woman to sit through that for 40 years, knowing that they're working together every day, and she's coming in my house, probably having coffee and tea and dessert and, you know, Christmas, you know what I mean, like moments with us, and knowing that this is all going on and just smiling and letting it go. Absolutely not.
Two children together.
Crazy. And I don't have any children with him. What?
I know.
What? Woof. Because she was going to be my guest star at first. And then when all of this went down, I was like, you know what? I got to stick with Alfred Woodard because the way I'm at right now.
The way I simply could never.
Could never.
This reality crew really hit the jackpot, let me say that.
Truly.
Oh my God. And poor Sam.
I know.
Sam is his son. Just saying, for if people didn't watch the episode, we knew Sam was raised by, we're not going to say a single mom because he hates that single mom term, but mm-hmm. Sam was raised by a mother, and he now at, what, 40, I guess, 40 years old. Although he would have to be older than 40.
Yeah, he's probably a few years older than, I guess.
Yeah, she probably just rounded down to make herself feel better about that. She's like, not 46, 40, 40. Not 45, 40.
Oh my gosh.
Alfred Woodard with these one-liners said, there are no bad people here, just people who made bad choices.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It surprised me that she said bad choices.
Oh, I think she knows that she was wrong. It's just like she just couldn't help herself, it sounded like.
Yeah, I don't understand. Because, like, you had two children, and those were good things. So, like, what are if the bad choices have good consequences, like, why are you saying that to one of the consequences of the choices?
Oh, that's an interesting way to think about it. Yeah, I guess if she hadn't done that, yeah, he wouldn't be here. That's true in a certain sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in my mind, she was just like, she realizes that what she did was wrong, you know, like the act of being with this man who was married, but not counting for the aftermath, I guess.
Yeah, I have this later, but when they're having this whole talk, Sam and his mom, it takes a long time for her to say that Corinne is also Raymond's child.
Oh.
And I am just wondering, did Sam go his whole life knowing that they both had the same parents? Or did he think it was Corinne had another father?
Mm.
We never know. Yeah. I mean, we always... And not that it would change their relationship, obviously, that, like, they would still love each other. But especially when it comes to the genetics of schizophrenia.
Right.
I wonder, right? Because he has a daughter who now is in the prime age of schizophrenia revealing itself. And mm-hmm. if his sister has it, the chances of Maya having it are higher.
Oh. Wow, yeah, I've never thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you have a history of breast cancer, you get mammograms really early, right? If you have a history of schizophrenia, you'd think that you would at least watch out.
Right. That's a good point.
I would like to know what Naomi says about any of this, let's be honest. I would like to hear what Audra has to say, because you know he called her. You know he's like, Naomi, I love you. Just kidding. I don't love you. Naomi. Right. And, like, I mean, he didn't get to know his father, but Maya didn't get to know her grandfather either.
Yeah.
You never met Maya, did you?
I think maybe one episode she was on with Audra for, like, a brief moment, I think. Yeah. Because isn't she the girl? She was on something else, right? Like,
Homecoming, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like we talked about her once.
Yeah. I have a note later. It was something Charlotte said. I learned long ago that if you didn't like Sam, that probably meant there was something wrong with you. And I said, okay, but at times I do have my reasons, and they're correct reasons. sure, but he's not perfect. Yeah, he's not a perfect man. Although, apparently, Jake is not a perfect man either, we're seeing for the first time, because he has a line about, like, obviously we care for all of our patients, but we care about some of our patients more than others.
Yeah.
Sam's still trying to take care of his mom, even after their big fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really sweet.
Because that's what family does, right? Truly. Like, even if you're mad, you're like, have you eaten anything today? Like, please. Yeah. Take this smoothie. Eat it.
Right. Yeah.
I was a little bit on a soapbox. Not a soapbox. I, like, couldn't. I was, like, you know, riding the wave here with the beach analogy. Mrs. Bennett says, staying with your wife was the noble thing to do. And I'm like, was that the noble thing to do? Not your responsibility to your child? I feel like she's still making excuses for him. And, like, I feel like she's still making excuses for him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before she says that Raymond is also Corinne's father. And you can just tell, like, he's looking at her and, like, wondering or about to ask the question. And I thought, like, acting-wise, he did a really good job. Obviously, he always does a good job in this episode of filling out those spaces between the lines so it's not dead air, keeping it active. Sam saying that his mom made all the sacrifices and that wasn't fair for her. And she's like, but he gave you this toy stethoscope that you loved. It's not the same thing. Like, I understand where he's coming from, where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I want a prequel about this.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get it 12 years later, but I do want a prequel about this. Can you imagine? That would be so cool. Baby Sam running around.
Right. Yeah.
I was really struck by the Shondalogue that Sam gives Raymond and Raymond gives Sam right back. And it was also so TV because, like, when we approach someone, it's a back and forth conversation. We don't sit and wait for them to finish a monologue and then we say monologue right back to them. There was no, like, back and forth dialogue. It was like monologue and monologue.
Yeah. Well, I guess in those, like, really tough conversations, like, you know what I mean, like, one person just needs to get everything off their chest.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
I can see Raymond waiting for Sam to finish to give Sam that respect and space to process. But I don't know, I saw Sam, like, if I were in this writer's room, or in this, if I were writing this episode, I would say, like, he needs to have, like, an interjection here or there.
Yeah.
Sam says, I would be here without you. And I had captions on, and I was like, did I mishear that? Of, like, I wouldn't be here without you? Because, like, obviously he's going to offer to give him his lung. Like, obviously that's what Sam's going to do. So I thought he was like, I wouldn't be here without you. Even though I didn't know you were always my father. I thought I was going to go that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, I am who I am because of my mother. He's a match and he'll donate it because that's the kind of man his mother raised.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then Raymond says back, I won't let you take a piece of yourself to save me, but you can't take away how proud I am of who you turned out to be, even if it's in spite of me. Okay, Zahir McGee. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, that was a bit heartbreaking little moment.
And when he gets back on the, not ambulance, like, bus.
Yeah, the go home or whatever.
When Sam is talking to Jillian McRae, Raymond's wife, he's like, there are two victims here, or like, there's more than one victim here. And I love that Jillian frames it as her choice to stay and the choices that she made and not that she's a victim.
That was interesting to me because in my eyes, I was kind of one, like with Tay, I was like, yeah, she's totally a victim. But then when she said that, I was like, well, yeah, I guess if she knew all this time and she decided to stay, that is, you know, she's decided to take whatever consequences come with it. So, ugh, man.
I just could never.
I don't understand. Also, she didn't even have kids for a reason to stay with him. Like, you know what I mean? So many people, at least, you know, you hear that they stay for the so their family can be together, so the kids can be raised by them. She didn't even have children. She could have had a whole nother life with the man who was going to be faithful to her, you know?
Right.
But she decided to stay.
Although something tells me that he had a lot of money and she was like, this is comfortable.
Yeah. Probably. That's true.
Womp womp. Anything else about Raymond? I know I probably have a couple stray notes in the documentary section about him, but anything else about the patient storyline and the Sam and his father?
I don't think so.
On to Sam and the documentary. Everyone that works in the office was cracking me up.
Mm-hmm.
When Sheldon comes out and he's like waddling like a penguin, he's like boom 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 boom. His line reading when he comes out of his office, it was so funny.
It was.
I wish we could see like him getting ready for that morning and his inner monologue of like, what outfit am I gonna wear? Oh no, this tie can't be seen by the nation. I have to have a better tie.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that.
Gray suit, not navy suit. Come on, Sheldon. Oh, I can't wait for Sheldon's episode. What's your first note about the documentary?
I also said, not Sheldon all stiff. And then I put Tay has a really great smile. And the suit is great on him.
You're welcome for putting you on this episode.
Literally.
You're welcome.
Oh my goodness.
When the producer says, when Sam is talking about Jake and like, he's IVF, he's also double board certified in general surgery. And the producer goes, he's also dating your ex, right? Come on, stirring the pot.
Literally.
And Sam is just like, not.
She did that a couple times.
Right? Sam will just like, he's like, this is about the medicine.
Right.
Nah. I think it all depends. We don't know what network it's on, right?
Like, true.
Although if it's a pilot, maybe there's shopping networks. Which that's technically a spec, but... like, if it's going to be on MTV or VH1, like, they're going to be looking for the drama. If it's on Bravo, they're going to be looking for the drama. If it's, like, on the History Channel or, like, the Discovery Channel, like, there's going to be less of that.
Right, right.
Know your audience, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Violet sobbing on the floor of Pete's office with her coffee, her yogurt, and her banana.
And her banana. Yeah. That was sad. I forgot that Pete was no longer here.
Oh, yeah. R.I. Pete.
Yeah. So sad.
Cooper's starstruck that the director or the producer's previous credits, we don't actually know what she is, but he's like, reality's stupid, except this one show that was super informative that I loved. And she's like, I worked on that. And he's like, oh, take everything back. I just said I love you. Please tell me everything about your everything.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Oh, also, both of them wearing stethoscopes. I was like, do they usually wear stethoscopes? I'm like, I feel like I don't remember really seeing them in any of the episodes having them around their neck like that.
Not usually. Maybe like if they're in with a patient, but not when they're walking around.
Not just in the office.
No.
Yeah, but that was funny.
There were times in this episode that like when the humor came out specifically, I said, that's Tay Diggs. Like, that's not Sam Bennett. That's Tay Diggs. Because I like his Instagram is hilarious, and I'm like, that's you. Like barely acting. That's you. And of course, there's gonna be some Tay Diggs in Sam, but like, I love it.
Yeah, of course.
Addison with Sam's mom made me so uncomfortable. So
laugh out loud. That little tap on Addison's waist, where she was like, do I hug her? Do I handshake? What do I do?
I know. Tap, tap.
Oh. It was so funny. I was like, no, they didn't.
Because you know they've known each other for like 30 years. Not 30. How old is Sam?
Oh, right. Because she was good friends with Naomi, too, right?
Yeah, they went to med school together.
That's right. I forgot about that.
And Addison being comfortable in front of the camera totally tracks. Like, we don't know, but, like, I feel like she, like, did the news at her high school. Or, like, she definitely did cotillion and, like, debutante, whatever.
Yeah, but yeah.
I'm like, did you do beauty pageants? Like, you're comfortable in front of the camera.
That's so true. I didn't think about that.
Right. Busy totally would have made her do, like, baby modeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, like, if you're gonna come into the show looking for reasons to nitpick it, you're like, why is the exposition so obvious? But I don't think it's obvious. I think it's, and like, you can't really call it exposition if it's six seasons in with a main character. Like, you can't really call that exposition. But I loved that scene he had about his mom and like how he helped him become who he is today. And like, that's not a single mom that like, I didn't need anyone else.
Yeah, it was very beautiful. And it was just cool to hear him list all of his accomplishments. It was nice to see an educated black man say, I've done all these things. Like, you know, that was nice.
I like his superlatives, most likely to succeed and nicest.
Right, yeah.
Or something like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, that tracks.
It tracks.
Yeah. Cooper says Sam is the perfect man.
I know. I was like, Cooper is so jealous. He's so jealous.
I know. And he just says, like, I have one kid and three on the way coming at the same time. I need money. Do you want to be, can I be a reality star too?
Right.
Oh my gosh, Charlotte would hate that.
Oh, yeah. No, Charlotte would not have that.
No, she would be miserable. Also, like, I get that triplets is a lot and, like, L.A. is expensive. But you're both doctors, and Charlotte has two jobs. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And Charlotte comes from money. We know that Cooper doesn't come from money, but, like, they're both doctors. Mm. They're fine. There's pre-COVID mortgage interest rates. Like, they're going to be okay. Violet leading the charge for the vigil for that missing girl, Sarah.
Mm.
I feel like she's misplacing her grief for Pete onto trying to find Sarah.
Definitely.
She always, like, has to have something to fight for. I have a question / like, double validation wanting. If they're featured in these episodes heavily, like, if the other doctors are featured in these episodes, they're getting paid something, too.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Would they do that for a pilot version of it?
Probably not the pilot, because not even Sam's getting paid for the pilot. But
yeah, but later on, I think if they would do something, I would hope. Yeah, I feel like they would have to negotiate something.
Yeah, even if it's just like a base day rate, it's something.
Mm-hmm.
The ongoing bit about Amelia not signing the waiver is so funny to me.
Yeah. That big
and
white block
that she did. Yeah. I think it's so that they can, like, blur out her face. But you don't need the white block to do that. It just makes it easier.
Yeah.
That was so funny.
The little beach backdrop was funny to me. Like, I know it's not a backdrop. I don't know the technical term for it, but I guess it's like a green screen or something that they're using to show that they're at the beach. It's just so funny to watch it, you know, in 2024, whenever this was shot. It's like, oh my gosh, this quality is just so crazy. Because it's so clear that they are not on a beach right now.
Everybody who watches this for the first time, like, with 2024 eyes is like,
Yeah.
Like, my friend's spouse has always loved Grey's and, like, works on Law & Order. And they started to watch Private Practice because of my pod. Hi, Steph. And they're like, I can't take it seriously. Like, the lighting and the green screen, I can't. Simply cannot. There are some times when it's more obvious to me than others. Usually when it's, like, one or two people in the scene instead of everybody, because I'm focused on less stuff. But
yeah,
man, is it a hee hee ha ha kind of day?
Truly.
On the out there. Sam is in this for such the right reasons.
Yeah.
Are you here for the right reasons? Back to the reality lore of it all. He says, patients come to me with misinformation every day. This gives me an opportunity to debunk unhealthy myths that cost people their lives. And Jake says, you know, that sounds rehearsed. Debunk unhealthy myths.
That one probably was, because he knew somebody was going to ask him that.
Oh, yeah. They're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. Sam breaks their camera out of, like, I don't know, frustration or accidental anger or something.
Yes, I saw that
and
coming.
He apologizes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And they said, it's okay, we budget for a busted camera on every shoot.
Yes, I chuckled for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's probably real. I wonder if they really do that.
Sam keeps talking about, like, who he is and, like, his identity was this and his identity was that. It's always, I do have to say, still so weird when he calls himself a grandfather, because obviously he is, but it just is weird every time he does it. It's like, oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And he puts his identity as other people, and that the network pilot would be his next identity, and now he's not sure. Mm. It just seems, maybe it's just me, I don't know, you can tell me if I'm being unreasonable, but it feels weird to put your identity onto other people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess being a parent, a grandparent is different, but he's like, I was this, and then I'm a parent, and I'm a grandparent. It's like, I don't know what your identity should be, but I feel like it shouldn't be on other people.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't really know what I'm saying, but I think you're...
I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, it shouldn't be dependent on others or what you're doing as a job or
whatever. You find it within yourself of, like, I'm kind, I'm brave, I'm...
Mm-hmm.
Loving, I'm resourceful, I'm this, I'm that. It shouldn't be like,
I'm a doctor.
I don't know, but I mean, some people's identities are like, I love Disney, I love this, like, that is my identity. And like, sure, same, but like, I don't know, live, laugh, love. Do you have any more about the documentary? I just have one last little bow wrapping.
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, my last one is, the switching between the narrative and the reality cinematography is so cool. And I appreciate that they have the, like, timestamps in the top corner when it's reality. At the beginning, it did take me out of it, I have to say, but I got used to it as it went on. And then it went back and forth through, like, towards the end when we get to more personal things and Sam's like, get out of here, rightfully so. It switches to the normal cinematography that we're used to, of, like, those warm tones and, like, clear camera. Have you seen the Grey's Anatomy documentary? Episode?
I don't think so.
It's in the season. I think it's in the season that's concurrent to season 6. I might be lying to you. But it's around the same time. And they don't have any, like, behind the scenes moments. It's all about, like, what you see is what aired. So anytime there's, like, a private moment, you see it, like, behind a door and hear it muffled like you would on, like, a reality show. So for that, it worked. And for this one worked. Like, if they weren't going to tell us how Sam and his mom really felt, like, I feel like that would be doing a disservice.
Yeah.
On to miscellaneous, any stray notes that you have?
Just that I love, like, Alfrey's monologue when they were on the couch talking to each other. It was just, like, so good.
Yeah.
I can't believe Addison, like, lightly mentioned that her mom meeting Tay's mom was horrendous and told Jay. I was like, what did she say? That was crazy to me.
It's so busy. Oh, I liked God. That they... Busy's her mom's name. I don't know if you ever met Addison's mom, but that's...
For a hot second.
Addison's mom's name is Busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right before she died. Oops. R.I.P. I'm glad that they mentioned that, because, like, there's no way that Busy and the captain would just be, like, cool with like,
them,
like, knowing Yeah. There's no way that they would be like, oh, yeah, this is another Tuesday. They'd be like, wow, who is this? Who are you friends with? Like a museum or something. It's crazy.
Right.
I love every time they mention Addison's family because we think of her as being, like, normal. And so she put together. Totally was raised so wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they mentioned Corinne in this episode because I do wish that she was on more episodes. But it's explained that Corinne won't see Sam.
Right.
Which makes sense, and I hope that she overcomes that.
Right. Okay.
Cooper says that it takes $500,000 to raise a child in LA. I feel like that's low. Maybe not in 2012, but now it probably is like $750,000 to raise a child in LA.
I don't know. It's just not as expensive.
Crazy. Addison's cashmere sweaters are really killing it this season. Like, she got my Sam style last episode because it was, like, a geometric, like, gray and black and white one. And she's wearing another cashmere sweater in this episode that's, like, green and gray. And I don't know. I feel like it was from the same... It reads like it's from the same designer.
Yeah, yeah.
They're killing it. I love it. But also, cashmere sweaters with a baby...
Right, not a practical choice.
Asking for trouble. No. And my last note is this episode has Brick by Ben Folds, which...
What is that?
Just takes me back.
A song?
Yeah, it's a song. We played it all the time at camp. I don't know. It might have been like a Northeastern thing.
I might know it if I hear it. Just
but the song goes like, she's a brick and I'm drowning slowly off the coast and I'm heading. It was like the song of my middle school, and now it was on this episode, and I was like, I have no idea what scene it was in because I was just listening to the music. Okay, our Sam style for this episode is Sheldon. I had to give it to him because he's wearing, at the like barbecue thing, he's wearing like a button-down rust-colored corduroy shirt, and it has little brass buttons. And I just want to give him a hug. Maybe it's because he's wearing corduroy, but it made me think of Corduroy the Bear. And I was like, oh, you're just a sweet little teddy bear, Sheldon. I love you.
How cute.
Who's our guest star spotlight?
The one and only Alfrey Woodard.
Yes!
Yeah, like we were mentioning, she's iconic, been everywhere, done everything. Originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. She started her career in acting after she auditioned for a school play when she was like in high school, I think, middle school, high school. But a nun convinced her to audition for a play at her school. Then she went on to acting school at Boston University. Did a little bit of stuff in New York and then moved to LA. And like we said, she's been in so many different TV shows, films, done a lot of animated series, all the things. She truly is an icon. And we saw just how iconic she was from the few scenes that she was in this one episode and how the range was there.
Like we said, it's like an entire season of character development in one episode. It's amazing.
Really, really cool. Yeah, I always loved watching her on the screen. She's so good.
So our trivia for this episode scored 3.72 million viewers, the fewest in the show's entire run. Don't like that. Okay. This episode focused on Sam. Thank you, Grey's Wiki. Totally didn't know that. This episode marks Amy Brenneman's 100th episode as Dr. Violet Turner. Richard Roundtree, who plays Raymond McRae, also plays Donald Burke in season 3 of Grey's Anatomy. So not only does this man play Sam's dad, but he plays Dr. Burke's dad. And that was like 6 years before this. Yeah, because, yeah, six-ish years before this episode. Laverne Scott Caldwell, who plays Jillian McRae, also plays Allison Cobb in season 7 of Grey's Anatomy. Her husband was in Derek's clinical trial, the one that Meredith, you know, ruined, kind of. Alfrey Woodard, who plays Dee Bennett, also plays Justine Campbell in season 8 of Grey's Anatomy. This is one of my favorite patient storylines. She plays an author who had aneurysms, and Lexi helped her type her chapters while she waited for surgery. And then, of course, Lexi, in the book that she's writing, it's this main character has to choose between two loves. And she's like, I have to choose between Jackson and Mark. And she's like, but they have to choose this person. It's like, okay, Lexi, so you know who you want to choose.
Right.
as we said last time when we met them, Chrissy Whitehead, who plays Dana Nelson, also played Helena Boy in season 4 of Grey's Anatomy, one half of the fighting brides who got injured fighting over the wedding package that was won by who could hold on to the dress the longest. Charlie Hofheimer, who played Ron Nelson, also played Jason Castor in season 10 of Grey's Anatomy. His spine was crushed in an accident, and his wife made Christina wake him up to ask if he wanted to be kept on a ventilator or be allowed to die. And then later, he was a part of Derek and Callie's trial, where he wore, like, a special walking suit. And also, he played Abe in Mad Men, so that's very personal to me. And because we have, like, a hair of extra, not extra, but this episode is running shorter, we're going to do our Sam trivia, which will probably just list the things that he said in that monologue. It's also funny to me how we started this series with him having just written a book and being like celebrity doctor, and we're ending the series with him on a reality show. Okay, notes and trivia for Dr. Sam Bennett. He can't ride a bike. He used to have a dog named Thurgood Marshall. Is this the dog we're talking about all the time? The dog that disappeared? Yeah! This is the dog. We find the dog's name. He's in season 1 and 2 of Private Practice, and then he disappears. He is portrayed by Chester the Chihuahua. Wow, I love that. Sam is Catholic. This is interesting. Sam and Cooper are the only characters that appeared in every episode of Private Practice. With the 3 appearances that Sam made on Grey's Anatomy versus Cooper's 2 appearances on that show, Sam has the highest appearance count of all original Private Practice characters. That's interesting. So that original means not Amelia, because Amelia obviously has been in like 6 seasons of Grey's now. Sam is the only cardiothoracic surgeon on both shows who completed a cardiothoracic surgery residency rather than complete a surgical residency followed by a cardio fellowship. Interesting. Although incorrect, Sam refers to himself as a cardiologist in the episode The Breaking Point. Sam pierced his left ear. He uses an inhaler for his asthma. He is allergic to corn-based propellants. He likes to play basketball in his free time. He likes a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Same Sam. He was on a racquetball team, though he hated the sport. And that's Sam Bennett. Good episode, Sam. What's your rating?
My rating, I was thinking it reminded me of when you are building a sandcastle with your sibling. And you make this, like, ginormous, like, really cool, like, thing with a cool little float, whatever. But then something happens where, like, one of the siblings, like, gets mad or whatever and decides to, like, stomp all over the sandcastle. And instead of the other sibling...
Don't tell me that was my bestie, Kyle.
No. We didn't really do that. We watch other kids have these moments. We didn't do that. We were...
Oh, yeah, this is a hypothetical learned experience.
Totally,
personal.
Totally.
Understand.
But the other sibling, after watching the one destroy it, instead of, like, getting upset or doing a whole lot, just picks up the little bucket and starts to make a new one. Because it's just easier to just carry on and do your thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a really good one. Mine is not as good. But I really like that. That's so creative.
Oh, thanks.
Mine is when your day at the beach is going all one way. So either really good or really bad. Like, it's great for the reality crew, and it's awful for Sam. Mm-hmm. So there's either like a perfect amount of sun and wind going the right direction, and you have great smells and views, versus like it's way too hot and the wind blows your hair all over your face. And the garbage smell is wafting into your face, and there's construction noise all over. So it's like, it could be the same day, but it depends on where you're sitting and what your goal is.
Right. I like that.
Who's your MVP? We might have the same one.
I think we do. Initially, I was like, okay.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I can't make Sam the MVP because the episode is about him. So I was like, maybe Addison, but then I was like, you know what? No, I need to make Sam the MVP because he's gone through way too much, and he dealt with it so beautifully and with such like elegance and grace and forgiveness that he deserved to be the MVP for this episode.
I agree. I don't know if I've ever given it to Sam before. I'd really have to dig. But I also gave it to Sam.
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, I was like, why are you divorcing Naomi for no reason?
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, why are you still with Addison?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you doing this? But he really deserves it for this episode. And I've really been trying to give Sam grace.
Mm.
But he's more authentic and generous in this episode than he has been in a really long time. And part of that might be because his mom is watching, but either way, we find out so much about him in this episode, and he reveals it all so generously.
Yeah.
Maybe Charlotte is right. If you don't like Sam, there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for being here. And I think,
of course,
I'm going to see you before you're on the next episode.
So exciting. I'm so excited. We didn't do shenanigans, but there really wasn't much of things to predict, I feel like, with this episode.
You're right. I skipped over Sheree's shenanigans. Yeah, there's not a whole lot to predict. Is there anything you'd like to happen?
I mean, I would like for somehow his dad to be okay for a little bit longer so that they can maybe form some sort of a relationship.
Yeah,
that's probably it, I guess. And I think when Tay was talking about, you know, trying to figure out his identity, what's next or whatever, it kind of made me think, like, wait, is he about to leave the show? Like, what's happening?
Well, the show's going to end soon. Yeah,
yeah. So then I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I wonder what his next thing will be. Like, I don't know. I don't have a good prediction for that. Like, what's going to be his next, like, focus area? But hopefully he finds out a way to just be himself and, like, be good with just being Sam and not Sam as everything else in everybody else's life. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even mention in the end, Amelia does sign the waiver simply so she can say, like,
he's a good guy.
Sam has built this reputation and Sam is a great doctor and he doesn't deserve to have that ruined because this week has just blown up in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here.
Of course. Awesome. Thanks for having me. Always fun.
Literally anytime. I know we're almost done with this series. Crazy.
So proud of you for keeping it up.
Oh, thank you. I finish everything. I don't quit anything. It's like a plus and a minus to me.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Beach Houses and Babies, a private practice recap podcast. Please follow us on Instagram at BHAB Podcast and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to be the first to hear future episodes. You can find me at Samantha G. Harris on Instagram.
And you can find me at Sheree on Instagram and at I Am Sheree everywhere else. Website iamsheree.com.
If you'd like to support Beach Houses and Babies, please consider leaving us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and sharing it with a friend. It really helps people learn about the show, and we might read your review on the podcast. We would also love you to join our patron community at patreon.com/BHABpodcast. On our next episode, we'll be discussing Season 6, Episode 6. They're available to stream on Hulu and now Disney Plus, which is so exciting, and can be purchased on iTunes, Amazon, DVD, and more, as well as borrowed from your local library. If you have thoughts you'd like to share with us on these episodes, please DM us on Instagram at BHABpodcast or email us at BHABpodcast@gmail.com to be featured on our listener mail segment.
Thanks for listening. BHAB Podcast will be back in 2 weeks.
TGIT.